This episode of Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored in part by our patrons, who are more important to me than Sabrina's makeup is to her. Find out more about how you can help support our shows at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's a guy who has never eaten a fuzzy peach without permission, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother Canada podcast, and we have a great recap for you guys here today. First off, let me introduce you to my main man, my partner in crime for all things Big Brother. Here is Mr. Brian Lynch. Brian, how are you?
I'm great. How's everyone?
I think everybody is doing great, because it's not often that we get to speak with the reigning Big Brother champion. And here he is. He joins us here today from Big Brother 15. It is Mr. Andy Heron. Andy, how are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. Andy, I'm telling you that you must be used to this. I get people telling me, oh, fantastic, we love Andy. And other people say, I wish you never had Andy. So it's anybody from your season, it's sometimes it's a split reaction.
We were a polarizing crew. I mean, what can I say?
Yes, you guys are very, very polarizing. Does that get old after a while, or have you embraced it?
It's fine. I feel like the immense, ridiculous Twitter hatred has died down recently, so it hasn't been so terrible. But it was actually kind of fun while it lasted. I feel like that makes me sound like a crazy masochist. But
are you sad? Do you miss all of the haters?
I mean, no, I do and I don't. It was fun to mess with them, but for the most part, it's nice to just be kind of back to normal now.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, yeah, I think the Big Brother 15 people, I think you guys spend too much time with the haters. I think you just gotta, yeah. Move on.
Totally.
All right. So let's talk about everything with Big Brother Canada here today. Of course, we are live. I think we're gonna get a lot of questions. Even before the show started, I had like 30 questions already on the YouTube page. People want to know what Andy has to say about Big Brother Canada. So we've got the chat room going on robhasawebsite.com. Got over 100 people right now in the chat room. Plus we've got the Twitter going, #RHAP, and then also we are going to take your questions on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, so let's just jump right into this, Andy. Tell us your big picture, your thoughts on Big Brother Canada 2 so far.
I feel like my opinion might not be the most popular, just because I really don't like when outside forces get to control what's going on in the game. I mean, don't get me wrong, my season, like the MVP, ended up working for me, but for the most part, I didn't really like that Canada was the HOH for a week, and I feel like it really did. I mean, as we can see now, it has really majorly affected the structure of the house and what's going on, and I feel like it kind of screwed over people that were playing a really good game up until that point. And so, I mean, it's made for a very entertaining show, I'll give it that.
Like who? Who got screwed by Canada?
What?
Who got screwed by Canada?
I think the first five got screwed by Canada. I thought that, I mean, for the most part, there were little fractures here and there, but I thought for the most part they were all doing a really good job. And even if they weren't the most likable group of people, that you have to give them the fact that they were playing the game very, very hard, and they were pretty successful at it, you know? But, and so for those people to be punished, it kind of sucks. But I mean, in the same sense, the people that I like on a personal level are now at a much better place. So it's like a give and take, you know? I feel like as a viewer, I like it. As someone who has played the game, I don't really like it all that much, if that makes sense.
Well, don't you feel like, though, and again, a year ago, I feel like I was in the same position as you, but I've come to terms that Big Brother Canada is not the same game as Big Brother US. And don't
no,
you have
you're
to
right. You're right.
Factor that in?
No, totally, totally. I mean, I think that the one thing is, yes, in that regard, these house guests should have gone in knowing that Canada could have a big influence, you know? And so if you're going to play an unlikable game, maybe realize there are going to be some repercussions for it.
Okay, so who are the people that you say you have a personal rooting interest for?
From the minute that, I'm not kidding, before the game even started, I loved Netta, and I feel like she has just verified, throughout week after week after week, why I like her so much. I think that she's just very restrained, she's very thoughtful, I feel like she's very in tune with what's going on, and for a while it was frustrating because I feel like she knew what was going on, but she couldn't really get a grasp into it, she couldn't get her hooks into anything, and I feel like now she's finally gaining some traction. And if she can keep remaining as aware of her surroundings and aware of what's going on, while kind of remaining under the radar. I think she could do a good job, although I feel like she's getting a little bit more on the radar now, and so she's still in a good position because I still think there are bigger threats than her. But I've really liked her from the beginning. I really liked Allison pre-going into the house. I mean, she was the one of the three that I really wanted to make it in. I was disappointed in her at first for aligning with Andrew and for getting so close with him. And, I mean, I feel like it seems like she's at the bottom of a lot of things right now. But I think if she can survive a couple of evictions, I think she could find herself in a really good place in the house because I think she's smart enough to do that. I like Adele. I think he's likable. I think at least from the edit that he's getting on TV, I've heard other things about him that I haven't really seen on the feeds. But he seems like a nice guy. I mean, I liked him more at the beginning. Right now, I'm a little bit more complacent on him. And I actually really like Kenny. I think that Kenny seems like he'd be a fun guy to hang out with. I'm kind of sad to see Sarah go this week. I've liked her a lot too. I feel like she's been playing a pretty thoughtful game, and it kind of sucks to see her just backdoored like this. But yeah, Heather, I'm cool with Heather. I liked Ika a lot while she was there.
Brian, I want to know just quick your take on Netta. I feel like we don't talk about Netta a lot on the show. What are you pro Netta? Do you think Netta is doing a good job?
I think she is doing well. She's laid low for long enough now that she can start playing the game, and she has done some stuff since. I guess it's a spoiler territory, but she has been playing the game a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me the Big Brother US comparison to Netta.
Oh, well, I feel like she's kind of like
either
Anil. She's kind of like Anil. It's not a U.S. comparison, but I kind of feel like that Anil vibe from her.
Anil, Andy, do you have a good Netta comparison?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I see different aspects of her in a lot. Like, I mean, the fact that she's been so under the radar, I mean, she was barely featured for like 2 or 3 weeks, which was exactly how my edit was at the beginning of the season. And so if she can keep remaining like almost a non-entity in the house, I feel like, and like basically, if you can be a non-entity in the house for the first half of the season and then pull out wins and alliances and like backstab people when you need to in the second half, you're in a pretty good position. And so if she can keep laying low and being under everyone's radar, I think that, I mean, that's a great spot to be in going into this stage of the game.
Are you saying that Netta is the Andy of Big Brother Canada?
I don't know if I would go that far. I feel like, because with me, I was always in the majority. Like, I always knew where the pulse of the house was, and I feel like wherever the power went, I went. And I feel like she's a little different. I mean, the lines are drawn in the sand more. She definitely has people coming after her. But for the most part, I like that she has John, because John is like her shield. You know, whoever's coming after her is also going to go after John. And I think that everyone sees John as a bigger threat right now, so I think they would go after John instead of Netta.
So who is the Andy of Big Brother Canada?
I think Arlie is trying to be the Andy of Big Brother Canada, and I don't think he's doing an amazing job at it, if I'm being honest.
So, but do you feel like Arlie is being regarded as getting a heroic edit of being the person who's playing both sides? Do you feel like that people have a much more positive reaction to Arlie in the game that he's playing? And why do you think that is?
He's being much more overt about it, and I feel like he's being more clumsy about it, but in the same sense, it almost makes it easier and more overt for viewers to see what he's doing. I mean, for the most part, most of my moves were like really insidious. I would put ideas in people's heads, and I wouldn't explicitly say my plan, but I would be like, I would tell Helen, I would tell Amanda all week how scared I was of Judd, and then Helen and Amanda would come up with the idea to get rid of Judd, and it was exactly what I wanted. You know, I didn't explicitly have to say it. And so I feel like Arlie is being a little bit more explicit in his plans, which is easier to put on TV, and as a result, people are able to see kind of what he is doing more than me, whereas I just kind of looked like this floater that didn't really know what was up.
So, true or false, Andy, your biggest failure was a inability to concisely articulate what you were doing in the diary room so people understood your game.
I would say that is half true, okay? Because for the most part, I played the game out of fear. I was always worried that my plans weren't going to work, so I was never going to go in the diary room and be like, I am in control of everything. Everything I want is what I'm getting. But at the same time, I did have a lot of diary rooms that never made it where I would say things. I mean, there were many diary rooms where I talked about how I was using Amanda as a shield. There were a lot of diary rooms where we talked about Exactly, you know. But no, there were a lot where I talked about how Helen was the bronze and I was the brain. I would tell Helen what to do and she would go do it.
Wait, you invented brains versus beauty versus brawn while you were in Big Brother?
Oh, totally. Helen was the brawn, I was the brains, you know?
Who is the beauty?
Who is the beauty? I don't know, Jesse? Like, who knows? Like,
all right.
But no, you know what I'm saying? So I did actually in the diary room, I did articulate a lot of the time that I felt like I was in control of these people and it just didn't make the show, you know, because I feel like they didn't have a lot of clips that supported it because, like I said, everything I was doing was always so subtle. I never was like, Helen, let's get rid of Judd. I would be like, Helen, Judd makes me so nervous. And then, bam, Helen would tell me that we should get rid of Judd, you know?
So do you need a diary room coach for if you ever go back on Big Brother? Because I feel like you need more hyperbole. And I think that this would really help you on the TV show.
Well, I feel like now, I mean, now that I've seen my diary rooms, like, I'll be the first to admit, like, I watched my diary rooms, and, like, even on the show, I was like, I'm going to come off as, like, pretty strategic in the diary room, and I'm going to come off as hilarious. And, like, watching my diary rooms, I was like, okay, like, I did not come off as either one of those. And so, I mean, like I said, I was always nervous about my plans not working, but at the same time, I do feel like there were a lot of good moments of myself in the diary room that weren't used. But now that I know kind of the stuff that they do use, I feel like I could tailor it to that. And I think I could be much more entertaining in the diary room if I went back.
Yeah, I think you're probably much better in the long form than the short form soundbite sort of like having to describe what you're doing.
Oh, totally. And I feel like they would want me like dumb down things. And I always just felt like an idiot a lot of the time when I was describing things, which made me kind of, I don't know.
But that's why I'm excited about this. I think this is a good spot for you.
Thank you. I agree.
This is going to be fun. Okay, so let's start to talk about the game this week and where we stand and sort of catch everybody up on what's been happening on the episode, and then we'll take a lot of questions. So I thought it was really interesting the way that things broke in the HOH competition, where you had to knock people out of the game, and two things in particular. One was that John sort of revealed himself in the game by having to... ending up knocking out Sarah and sort of revealing where he was in the house. Let's start off and talk about there. Did you think that John did a good job in that spot that he was put in?
I mean, I feel like John did what he had to do, you know? He didn't want the other side of the house gaining power, and so he kind of had to out himself. You know, I mean, he kept winning questions, and so when you win a question, you have to eliminate someone, and it's in his best interest to make sure that someone that is not going to put him up wins, and so I feel like he did what he had to do.
So it was sort of like two sides of the same coin where you said John did what he had to do. And then you have Arlie, who was caught in the middle and was in the great spot of that both sides are working with him. So nobody's going to knock him out of the game. And if he doesn't play his cards right, he's about to win HOH. And so he has to get a question wrong. And I was surprised how everybody knew that he threw, or at least Sarah knew he threw the competition just by getting a question wrong. I mean, out of all the competitions we've seen Arlie throw, that's seem to be the most innocuous to get the true false question wrong.
No, Arlie has been less than subtle in throwing competitions before, and so in throwing this one, I was surprised that everyone picked up on it so well. But I mean, in Arlie's credit, like, I did claim that I didn't think Arlie was playing as strong as I was before. Arlie did exactly what I would have done at that point. My mindset, I mean, I never had to play in the knockout competition because I was HOH right before it, but I remember I thought to myself, I was like, if there's a knockout, just immediately let the other person win, get it wrong, and don't have to pick anybody. Or, you know what I'm saying? Don't have to show where your cards lie because no one's going to put you up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, even though Arlie did not do a bad job in that spot, he ended up sort of having Sarah tipped off to what he was doing.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that conversation that Sarah and Arlie ended up having. And I want to know if you felt like Sarah did a good job in that conversation, because I thought she seemed very aggressive to come out and say, you know, I know you too well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I actually really like Sarah. I've liked her all season, but I don't think she did that great of a job there. And I mean, as we can see where it's gotten her now. But sorry, spoiler alert, if I'm not, like, should I not be revealing anything?
All right, spoiler. The spoiler seal has been broken. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, everybody. No, I mean, I think that she was a little bit too aggressive in that moment. You know, I think that, yes, I don't think that she was as subtle as she should have been.
Hey, absolutely not. So now, okay, for those of you guys who are on top of the spoilers, that it looks like Sarah is the target now and is likely the one going home. Was this conversation the beginning of the end for her in the house?
I mean, I would say so. I haven't seen as much of the feeds as Brian, so he can probably talk better to this than I can, but it seemed like it for me at least.
Brian, was this start a chain reaction that is leading to Sarah being the target this week?
It did put the spotlight on her for sure, but the thing that they're pointing to directly in telling Sarah now is that her reaction when Kenny actually won the power of veto was something that really flipped Arlie, which is what Arlie's telling her, right? Which it could have been this or something else prior to it.
In that conversation,
it seems like it's her relationship with Kenny. You know, I mean, everyone is gunning for Kenny so hard, and she's like Kenny's emotional support in the house. So everyone wants to get rid of that. If they get rid of her, Kenny's not going to be as strong, you know?
That was the first time in the game that I really saw Arlie looking very scared. And he looked like the deer in the headlights. And that, and she's like, she came up to him and like, I know what you're doing. And he was whoa, wait, what? What do you mean? What do you mean? What are you talking about? I don't know. I think I know what you mean, but.
If someone had said that to me, I would have crapped my pants. Like, I completely empathized with Arlie in that moment. You know, as like someone who never really got called out on it, like, I felt very lucky, because if I would have, I would have been really, really scared.
So is that a good move in the Big Brother house to say to somebody like, I know what you're doing, and then just see people's reaction?
No, that's not a good move in the Big Brother house. You got to just bite your tongue, you know?
But what if you're just seeing if somebody's up to something? What if you just you have nothing and you just go up to somebody and say, I know what you're doing, and see what their reaction is. If it's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about, or if it's like, wait, what do you know? Hold on.
I mean, I don't think it's a good move. If anyone would have said that to me, I would have immediately wanted them gone. You know, I would have been like, I don't trust this person. This person thinks I'm shady. Like, they gotta go. You know.
Yeah, it's a fair point. It's very good. I loved the instant eviction speculation this week. I thought that was such an inspired thing to do. I guess it did pay big dividends. I wish that the punishment turned out to be more severe than it ultimately was, but I felt like that was such a interesting segment on the show this week.
Yeah. I mean, poor Rochelle. Like, you've got Rochelle, like, weeping as it's going on. You know what I'm saying? You've got Sabrina pledging her loyalty to other people. I mean, it was an entertaining segment to see, for sure. Just see them all scrambling for that hour or whatever it was that they had to pack, you know?
Yeah. Brian, were the feeds on during that moment?
I didn't necessarily see that, but it was on during the sock puppet, like, aftermath, when Sabrina was going, I'm so sorry, Sabrina totally threw you under the bus.
Yeah, can you just explain to me, because I don't know if this was played out in a clear manner on the show. So the instant eviction goes on, and it was because Adele said to Sabrina, don't F your girl. That was why Sabrina was freaking out. And then how did Rochelle find out about this?
Sabrina had leaned in to tell Rochelle something during the mayhem, right? And then Adele comes up behind her and says, don't F your girl, as in saying, don't vote your girl out, which and Sabrina thought, oh, my God, he must have heard me say that to somebody, that I would keep Kenny over her.
And then so how did Rochelle, this all unravel to Rochelle? How did she know what was going on?
I don't know. I think Sabrina thought that she knew and then just ended up spilling the beans. I'm really confused about it, actually.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Andy, I'd love to hear your take on Sabrina. We haven't talked about her very much at all. So let's talk a little bit about Sabrina, and give me your take on Sabrina. And if you want, you can compare her to anybody you want from your season.
Okay. I am obsessed with Sabrina. I think Sabrina makes for the most entertaining, engaging live feeds. Like, if I am ever watching the live feeds, I'm following Sabrina around because she's just being outrageous. I mean, I think that if I was in the house, Sabrina would be driving me nuts. But as a viewer, I think that she is so fun to have there, because she's just so, I mean, everything is just so, like, made over dramatic by what she does. I mean, I think that she is even more over the top version of Amanda from my season. I mean, she's so emotional. She gets so upset about things so easily. And for a while, she had a lot of control like Amanda did. And so it's interesting to see her kind of floundering now, from going like way at the top to someone who's kind of on the bottom. But I just really love how she'll get information, and we're watching the feeds. We hear the information she gets, and then when she goes and tells people, it's like a different story, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so do you see any parallels between the game that you played and what she's trying to do?
I do, but yet again, I think her downfall is going to be her emotions. You know, she, like, and like, basically, with me, I mean, I always kept my emotions in check. I mean, unless someone was evicted and I cried, we all saw me do that. But for the most part, like, I didn't play emotionally, you know? I didn't have vendettas against people for personal reasons. I was always strictly game, and it seems like Sabrina goes a little bit more personal, a little bit more emotional, and by a little bit, I mean a lot. And so I think that that's going to come back to bite her a little bit. But for a while, I feel like she was doing a pretty good job of playing everyone for the first couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah. And how does somebody go, what, like, where's the line where if you're going too far and now you've crossed wherever the, you know, Amanda Sabrina line is, and where is the, like, the right side of that line where you can be on the Andy side of things? How do you know you're crossing the line?
The problem is with basically how you deal with your, with being in power. Like, I mean, there was seriously never a time in the Big Brother house until like the last week or two where I felt like I was in danger. Like, I always felt like I was on the side of power, but no one in the house would have thought that. I always acted scared. I always acted like I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I would tell people, people would ask me what was up, and I would be like, I don't know. Nobody talks to me. Nobody tells me anything. And I feel like I played way down the fact that I was in control, whereas Amanda and like a Sabrina, they played it up. You know, they're just like, I'm controlling everything. Like, I've got everyone wrapped around my finger. And the minute that you get that mindset, you're in trouble.
I think that's a really interesting point. I don't think I've ever heard it described like that. That's very good. So, yeah, I felt like this was your format, Andy.
Yeah.
Brian, could you talk about what you were saying about Sabrina being worried that she's being edited like Amanda?
Oh, well, she... I forget exactly who she was talking to, but she just blurted out, well, do you think I look like Amanda or whatever? And then Rochelle said no. And then she said something about something being wrong with her brain for years or something afterwards.
Hold on, when you say look like Amanda, like physically or edited to be like Amanda?
Edited to be like, or she's acting like, or whatever her issue is with Amanda. But, I mean, there's not much difference really other than she's not going around banging on people's doors.
Yeah. And then what happened when you tweeted that report, Brian?
Oh, well, Amanda somehow saw that and didn't like it. I think she might have some choice words for Sabrina. She gets tired of having Sabrina bring her name up.
I saw Amanda tweet that, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. So Amanda is anti-Sabrina?
I think Amanda is just annoyed that Sabrina keeps bringing her up.
Yeah.
Yeah, anti-dragging Amanda into it. It's what she's anti.
Yeah. By the way, Andy, I watched a half an hour vlog that Amanda made this past week.
It.
And that was really like, forget about the live feeds. That was far more captivating than anything going on in the live feeds.
Yeah. No, and I also really love like Alyssa comes in at the end and calls her like.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great because it's like Amanda does like a 30-minute like monologue. And, you know, really, it's just like she should go out and, you know, do auditions for things because it's like.
Well, I was surprised that she did that because, I mean, I talk to Amanda all the time. And so I knew this whole story, you know, and I mean, this she has been so emotional about this. And I was just surprised that she like. Portrayed it to the world via a twit cam. You know?
I'm just saying, like, I couldn't do, if I tried to do a 30-minute podcast by myself, it would be a complete disaster. And I've done, this is like, you know, Rob has a podcast episode number 800. Okay. Yeah. And I could not do a one man show. And Amanda, she didn't miss a beat. She did the whole thing.
Amanda is an entertainer. You know, Amanda knows how to pull the masses in and get, I mean, be it lover or hater, you know?
Amazing. It's amazing. And then the best part is, at the end, Skype call from Alyssa. And then it's unclear whether Amanda even still knows that she's on camera. And then there's like the first like 3 minutes of like a whole nother conversation. And it's very clear Alyssa doesn't know that she's being recorded.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. I mean, if you call Amanda's house, it's like you don't know if you're being bugged or not because your phone call might end up on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's great. Yes. Let me just ask one quick question about this. In the Amanda and McCray breakup, who gets custody of Andy? Do you have to pick sides in that?
I'm not picking a side. I love them both equally. I never pick a side, Rob.
Yeah, that's fair. Very fair. Very fair. So let's see. Going back to the episode. So I loved the instant eviction drama. And then they had to take things out of their bags. Brian, did you feel like that should have counted of, so Sabrina had to lose 22 things out of her bag. Should each piece of individual makeup have counted as one thing?
Yeah, I believe so. I think you have to open up the bag and take count them individually just to help her out, you know? Unless you're just going to take every individual piece of clothing she has.
Andy, what's your take on this?
As someone who lived through this, I definitely am fine with them taking each individual piece of makeup as one item. I think that it would have been outrageous if they wouldn't allow that.
I don't know. I feel like this is like going like to a strip poker game, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna take off my shoelace now, and it's like, all right, well, you know what. What are people really losing? Especially the people who lost like two socks. Come on with this. You know, let's give some teeth to this punishment.
Yeah. And 20, although 21 times really is just completely ludicrous. Like, I could not believe that.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that production likes Sabrina?
I don't know. It seems like Sabrina is kind of hard to deal with, and so I feel like production likes the people, at least from my perspective, production liked the people that were down to earth and didn't cause a stink all the time, and I feel like Sabrina seems like someone who would cause a stink. I mean, I guess we don't really get to see, because I feel like a lot of the times, at least on my season, when people would cause a stink, it would be like before competitions that like you don't see on the live feeds or things like that, you know, and you could tell production would be kind of exasperated with them. And so I guess I don't know how Sabrina acts during that, but I don't know. If she's so emotional, I'm sure she gets on people's nerves.
I feel like I can usually tell when production doesn't like a person, because I feel like they get an edit that is worse than they should be getting. I feel like when a person's name is mentioned and they cut to them, they could use any piece of footage they want. But when they like cut to the shot of like the person like picking their nose or eating and like making like the most disgusting face, like I feel like that's usually a good tell when production doesn't like somebody. And I do feel like, you know who I feel like this happened to on your season is Aaron. I feel like the production turned on Aaron and they decided that they were just going to go and really give her the edit that she ended up getting. What do you think about that?
Yes. Well, I mean, in production's defense, for the first 2 weeks of the show, Aaron was a complete horrible monster. You know, Aaron was awful. And so, I ended up really liking Aaron by the time she left. But I mean, for those first couple weeks, and I feel like that's when they have to kind of commit to the edit, you know, I mean, Aaron sucked. And so I completely understand them giving Aaron that kind of an edit, because everyone in the house besides like Jeremy and Caitlin thought she was awful.
Yeah. So I wonder about the production with Sabrina. Let's talk about the Fuzzy Peach incident, because I like in Big Brother Canada that they rule that house with an iron fist and they crack down. Andy, what would happen if you were a have-not and you ate a piece of the HOH's candy?
I believe in U.S. rules, and I could be wrong because, I mean, it never happened, but I think that we got, like, a penalty. They would either get, like, a warning. I think you'd get, like, maybe one warning, and then if you did it again, you'd get, like, a penalty knob or something like that, or a penalty. Like, if you were up on the block already, you'd get a penalty vote. If you weren't on the block, you would get a penalty knob. So.
But would that really happen? Like, if you're have-not, and when it's like, Andy, stop doing that.
I don't know, because I mean, it never really got to that point because no one did it. You know, I mean, there were times where, I'm not gonna lie to you, like I would see a loose M&M like laying on the floor, and I was like, if I just like pretended to fall and like ate this off the floor, I don't know if anyone would notice me doing this. But at the same time, I never chanced it. So
like the Rochelle eating the fuzzy peach. But do we have those in America? Is that a real thing, fuzzy peach?
I mean, I'm a big candy person. I feel like it might just be like a gummy. You know, I feel like I can picture what it is. It's like kind of like a gummy peach, like a little gummy peach.
Brian, have you ever had the fuzzy peach?
No, I've not had the fuzzy peach, Rob.
I've not had the fuzzy peach. And so then Rochelle, she eats it, and that's it. This would not have happened in Big Brother US.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in Big Brother, like, it wouldn't have. The punishment would definitely have not been as severe. We would not have all been made have-nots.
Yeah. They would not have done that in U.S., Big Brother, right?
No.
Yeah. Brian, do you like this, that they rule with the iron fist?
Well, I mean, you can rule with an iron fist and punish the persons responsible for the infractions. Or you can rule with an iron fist and punish everyone. And I don't know that punishing everyone is necessarily good.
Yeah. I mean, it makes for good TV, but.
Now, do you think that did production, do you feel like, did they want Rochelle on the block? Do you think, going into the conspiracy theory, do you feel like that the production would have been happy to have Rochelle go home this week? And then they say, okay, well, let's punish everybody. So let's get everybody really mad at her.
I don't know. I mean, they could definitely put it, like, if for it being, a, like, because was this before nominations that she got in? No, it wouldn't have been, right? It would have been after?
I thought it was before from the episode. What did you think, Brian?
It was, but... Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah, then I don't know. I mean, maybe. And, I mean, she still could. I mean, we've got a double coming up. People could still remember it, you know? I mean, it definitely did not put her in good graces by any means, but...
Yeah. All right. So Scott has brought up a picture of the fuzzy peach. Okay. This is what a fuzzy peach looks like. I don't know. Do we have that a different name for that, or is that what it's called? There you go. Fuzzy peach.
Well, okay. I'm not seeing it.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So I wonder if they were like, okay, let's try to see if we can get Rochelle gone. Because I feel like at least from a production standpoint, you know, Kenny's bringing more to the table. I guess Allison probably has brought a little bit more to the table. She's the person that they brought in with the twist. And I think production might feel like, oh, if we lose Rochelle this week, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, that does make sense. Rochelle is kind of like a nothing right now. I mean, she's like close with Sabrina, but other than that, she's like, it seems like she's not doing too much. But, I mean, you never know.
I feel like she just got busted by live feeders and they had to do something. Kind of like when Emmett cheated in that one comp. Running with the balls last year.
Yeah.
Everyone lost their mind and then they had to do something.
So does Big Brother Canada, are they more likely to kowtow to the support of the people on Twitter, whereas Big Brother US is just going to, you know, no matter what people do on Twitter, it's not going to change their mind about anything?
As long as they can show on the clip of whatever rule is being broken at the time to the whole group and make that person look like crap. Then yeah, they'll do that.
Yeah.
Is it true that Peter Brown said that Rochelle should not have been penalized for this? This was not an infraction of the bylaws?
Oh, I don't know.
Peter Brown thinks she needs Peter Brown confinement for 24 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay. So we ultimately end up getting the nominations as Heather and Allison, between Kenny and Allison, but not before Heather has a little bit of a fake out. Andy, what did you think of Heather's fake out?
Wait, okay, I'm so sorry. I actually just realized that I did not actually, my live episode cut out before the nomination ceremony, so I didn't see it. What did she do?
All right, Brian, speak about what Heather did in the fake out, since you are president and the number one member of the Heather fan club.
Okay, so we saw Adele and Arlie getting Kenny to be on the block first and not the back door thing. And so Heather was so mad at Rochelle that she told her to nominate her.
Yes.
Just to mess with her.
Yeah, I saw that actually. I mean, I don't know. As someone who, it sucks. I mean, being nominated never feels good. Like, I mean, I guess like whatever, if Heather wants to do that, if it's going to make her happy, but it's a little bit sociopathic to do to someone, but
you don't think that's good strategy to fake somebody out with the nominations?
No, you're just making one more person mad at you. Of course not.
Yeah. And what about, like, you know, this comes up in the Big Brother US, I feel like, this rule that you're not allowed to tell the person that they're getting nominated. Well, isn't that a violation of when Heather tells Rochelle she's going to get nominated?
I mean, we're not allowed to tell people that they're being nominated. Basically, you can't actually say the words, I am nominating you, but like you can pull someone into the HOH room and be like, well, you're not going home. Like, believe me, you're my pawn for the week. Like, you can, like, I don't know, you can weirdly say things like that, but you can't actually say I'm putting you up. So, I don't know. I don't really know how it works. I feel like everyone always knew my season exactly who was going up before, or at least if you were in the know, you knew who was going up before.
Okay. I know we're going to have a million questions for Andy, so let's just get into some of this live feed stuff, Brian. So tell us about what happened with the power of veto.
Oh, so Kenny takes himself off the block, and Sarah goes up in his place.
All right, well, good for Kenny. So it sounds like we had like a Technotronics moment in the backyard.
Oh, yeah. So Kenny wins with, I think it's shocking, and... Heather tried to spell wishful with, and she spelled it with two L's, so she got upset about her little blonde moment. And she had a Y, so she could have spelled wishfully and actually won the veto, but she didn't.
Oh, my God.
And so Sarah's celebration when Kenny wins the veto and then upsets a lot of people?
Yeah, apparently she was really happy for him, and it's one of the things that people have been talking about ever since, is her reaction to him actually winning POV and being safe.
Yeah. And so who is behind the big push to get Sarah on the block and then ultimately out of the house?
We're guessing that's probably Arlie, right? Yeah, I think it's Arlie.
And so tell me a little bit about what's going on with Allison also, because it seems like that she has now escaped the shadow of Andrew and now is finally able to play her own game.
Yeah, Andy might be able to talk about this too. She's got sucked into this other alliance with Adele, John, Arlie, Netta, and Heather. So she's like the sixth member of that alliance. Plus, she's found that hidden veto, so she's sitting pretty.
I think that I have high hopes for her in like a couple weeks. I think if she can just like, if she can make sure that she hangs in there for these next couple weeks, I think that she could essentially be in a really good position, because I think she's going to be a number for people that they want to work with later on.
I think so. If she can sort of, you know, come out from the Andrew shadow, that was really, he was holding her back.
That was such a bummer of a move on her part. Like, I just had such high hopes for her, and I was just very surprised that that was where she went when she went in there.
Well, she like completely fell in love with him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't like that. All right. And then Brian, tell me about, what Arlie is up to and his quote unquote coming out party.
Oh yeah. So after the veto ceremony, he just came out to his former alliance and told everybody that, you know, he's with the other side, basically. So
how'd that go?
Well, of course, Sarah was distraught and, you know, cried. She's still crying. Kenny's upset. Sabrina's still upset. Sabrina went to Netta and got blown up about 15 different times by Netta. And now Sarah's done yelled at her because, you know, why are you bitching at me about it? I'm the one going home. Get out of my face, Sabrina.
Right. Yeah. So give me your prognostication of the vote on Thursday, Brian.
Oh, well, Sarah's gone. I mean, the votes stack up, so there's 10 people, there's 7, so it'll be 4-3.
4-3? That's close.
Yes, it is close.
So do you see any chance of one person flipping?
No, I don't. I mean, I kind of thought, well, Arlie would be one of these kind of crazy diabolical people to set this whole thing up just to fool all of us and turn around and then claim that he was just trying to set it up to save everybody. But, I mean, I don't see it switching. You know, he's already sunk all this. He's already burned all his bridges with the other side.
So Kenny, Sabrina, and Rochelle are the three votes to save Sarah?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we'll see what happens. All right, let's get to some of these questions for Andy, because I'm sure we're going to have a million questions, and we'll cover more stuff everywhere. All right, so let's jump in with our first question tonight is from Calvin, who wants to know, question for the show, is it possible that we see Kenny jump ship and form a new alliance with the others? What do we see the chances of Kenny flipping?
I mean, I think – I was talking to Spencer about this today, and I feel like if Kenny – kind of similar with Allison. If Kenny can survive these next couple weeks, I think Kenny will become valuable again. But if not, I think Kenny – if Kenny can't win – if, like, the other side or if the Sloppy Seconds group wins during the double, Kenny, if he can't win veto, is a goner.
Brian, just real quick, that Andy mentioned Sloppy Seconds. You want to tell us what that is?
Yeah, so that's this the six-person alliance that's on top right now with Arlie's alliance.
Okay, and what do we like better, Sloppy Seconds or the Exterminators?
I think I'm going with the Exterminators.
yeah, I'm going to be loyal to I'm going to say the Exterminators, too. I mean, I think we were one of the best alliances in Big Brother history.
Yeah, Andy, let me ask you a question. Your fellow Exterminators partner, Gina Marie wants to do Playboy. Good move or bad move?
You know what? Whatever makes Gina Marie happy makes me happy, and so I say totally good move.
Good move. There you go. All right. Let's go to William Rinaldi, who said, Andy, why is everyone crying in the house so much? Are they really emotional, or is it being in that environment?
Being in that environment makes you so emotional. I mean, I'm someone who I cry a little bit in everyday life, but nothing like I did in that stupid house. And I mean, like, it's every emotion. It's not just tears, you know? I mean, if you start to really, like, with Amanda and McCray, if you fall for someone, you really fall for someone because you're in such a tight, confined space with them. Same thing with Andrew and Allison, you know? If you start to hate someone, you really, really hate that person because all you have to do is layer on and think about how much you hate them, you know? I mean, without any other distractions and being in such a pressure cooker, every emotion you have just boils over so, so much.
Yeah, I think that the best way to describe it is, you know, it's like everything is amplified. And especially like if you meet somebody, if you're friends with somebody, it's like you're friends with them for like 10 years. If you've been friends with them for like 2 weeks, it's like, oh, my God, this person's my best friend. I've known them forever. I can't believe that they did this to me because but like in real life, if you knew a person or as long as I barely know this person.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's kind of crazy. Reality TV time. It's almost like the dog years. It's like, you know, 7 times as long as normal time.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, yes, 100%. So I feel like the fact that everyone is crying is not shocking to me whatsoever.
Okay. Let's go to Zachary Zarnett Klein. Question for Andy. First off, you rock, Andy. At the start of the season, it seemed like Sabrina was playing a similar game to you by sending info back and forth. Was her mistake having ultimate loyalty to a certain group being the first five? Interesting question.
No, I don't think that was her mistake. Like I said before, I think her mistake was just that she was too emotional about it. I mean, my loyalty was to Amanda and McCray and Judd for the first like 6 weeks of Big Brother. And I mean, no matter who gave me info, I mean, like, when I was playing Big Brother, week 5, everyone wanted to flip the house on Amanda, and if I would have given it the go, like, Amanda would have left and Howard would have stayed, but my allegiance was to Amanda, you know, I needed Amanda there, and so I went and told my side of the house this information, you know, and so you have to make sure that you're riding a very fine line. You have to make sure the people that you're giving the information to trust you so they won't, like, expose you to other people, but like I said before, you have to take emotions out of it, you know, if you get mad at someone, you can't want to, like, switch, like, flip things on them or spread lies about them. Because then you could easily get exposed.
Okay. That being said, if the people, let's put that same situation, and it's like you found out, you had information that everybody was coming to come after, you know, Amanda, McCray, and Judd. There was nothing you could do about it. Would you have stuck with them even though they were going?
No, of course not. I would have jumped ship. I would 100% have jumped ship.
What would Sabrina have done if she would have found out that the people on the other side of the house are voting against the first five? Would she have voted with the first five, or would she have voted against them?
If she was a smart player, she would have voted against them. But I don't know. I mean, she does seem like she was very loyal to him. But I mean, my thing in Big Brother, sure, like if you're able to do it, remain loyal. And in most reality TV shows, like if you can be loyal. But if you can't, your one true alliance is with yourself. You know, you are not playing to get your best friend to the end. You're playing to get yourself to the end. So if you have to get rid of your best friend, you have to get rid of your best friend. You know, like in Big Brother, my allegiance was to me. You know, and whatever move I made, if it benefited me, then I did it. You know, and so if I like had to slit someone's throat, I would. You know, I mean, and you have to go, especially at the beginning of the game, you have to go where the majority is going. You know, you don't want to find yourself, at least I never did, on the minority side of things.
Let's go to Genital Baldness wants to know, Andy, what housemate in BB Can you identify with the most? You said, is it Arlie?
Like on a personal level, it's Netta. Like, I think that Netta and I would really get along. I just think that like we have a lot of similar interests. So if we're talking that regard, it's Netta for sure. Or Allison. I feel like I would get along with Allison pretty well. Kenny too. I like him a lot, but I mean, from a gameplay perspective, I guess it's like a combo of Netta and Arlie. You know, it's like Netta's laying low and Arlie's like playing both sides.
Juan Gomez says, where would Sabrina vote question is silly, Rob, because that is the exact situation this week and she is voting with the first five. So you heard it here first. Andy is a better Big Brother player than Sabrina. That is definitive proof, Andy. There you go. All right, Nina Mims. Hey, Andy and Rob, what do you guys think of Arlie flipping so early in the game? Was it too early for Arlie to flip?
I don't know. I feel like with questions like that, we won't know until we see how these next couple weeks play out. You know, I mean, if he goes home next week, then yes, it was too early to flip. If he lasts for a while, then no, it wasn't, you know?
I think that the game that Arlie is playing, I think it's too big for what we're going to... Like, I think he's going to be the guy who goes out at, like, Final Five, Final Six. Yeah, he's going to come back for All-Stars, but I don't think he's winning this game.
Yeah.
Brian?
I agree.
Well, I think he really doesn't have a choice about coming out. I think the scheme was so big that the scheme kind of dictated as to when he had to come out about the alliance, which is not a good idea if the plan's running your game, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Thomas Bobbin wants to know, Andy, what do you think of Kenny's strategy of not telling the house he's gay because he thinks getting intimate with a girl will help him? I actually don't think it's a bad idea. If Kenny could somehow get in with Heather, Allison, and Netta, what do you think about this? And Andy, did you consider this strategy of not telling the house that you were gay and then trying to seduce any of the women in the house?
Okay, this is a loaded question. I'll tackle that part first. Of course I didn't hide the fact. Like, I feel like Kenny can hide it. Like me, I opened my mouth for 4 seconds and you instantly know. And so actually, I didn't even tell the house I was gay. Like, during my introductions, I didn't say I'm gay. And so I feel like everyone instantly was just like, oh, there's the gay guy, though. You know what I mean? It's pretty obvious. But from Kenny's standpoint, I feel like I half of me likes it, half of me doesn't. Like, I feel like I'm the biggest proponent of not going into that house and making or like hiding something about yourself. Because if you make one slip up, it's going to make you look untrustworthy. But I mean, he's done well so far at hiding it, you know? And so to his credit, that could be a good thing. On the other hand, being a gay guy on a show like this can be a good thing because the guys, like, if you can get in with the guys and they like you, then that's then great. But you've also got all the girls liking you, too. I feel like you're in this kind of middle ground where everybody's in, where everybody likes you, and a lot of people don't see you as that big of a threat. And so in that regard, I feel like it's kind of a bad thing that he didn't play up the fact that he's gay. But on the other side, I feel like right now he's gotten so far into the game by hiding it, where he could essentially reveal it to someone as, like, an arsenal. You know, he could be, like, he could try to gain someone's trust. Like, if he pulled, like, Netta, like we said, like, Netta and Heather and Rochelle aside and was like, hey, you guys, like, I'm gay, you know, that could really gain trust in their eyes, and they could be like, wow, like, he revealed something so huge to us. Let's work with him. You know, he trusts us. We trust him. So if he could, like, I feel like it's a little bit manipulative, but if he can use being gay as kind of, like, the secret weapon now to gain people's trust, it could essentially be a good thing.
And I agree with you on the surface, that was, I think, the move. But now that he's sort of like that, he's trying to flirt with Rochelle and sort of trying to be undercover and sort of have like this showmance or try to get in like by flirting with Rochelle. If you're Rochelle and then Kenny comes out, by the way, just so you know, I'm gay. And so it's like, okay, she doesn't have any problem with him being gay. She has a problem with, but you were leading me on and now you were trying to take advantage of me.
No, that makes sense. I guess, I don't know, it just depends on their relationship. You know, I mean, he could even play it up like, I'm not that comfortable with it. Not a lot of people know, but you know what I'm saying? He could play it like, he could even pretend like he's not out in real life or something. And he's like coming out for the first time to them. You know, I mean, it just depends on how he posits it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe he could play the bisexual card, and he could come out as being bisexual, and then that covers both bases.
Yeah.
I think
he's going to have to just win out.
Yeah.
He ain't got no choice.
you don't think that playing the bisexual card will help him?
No, Kenny's in a spot where he's the biggest target left in the house, so
he's
got to win out.
No chance, right?
No chance.
Okay, let's take another question, and let's go to South Newton 1, who says, did Kenny coming out to Sarah effectively ruin her game? She was unwilling to let Kenny go, which caused distance between herself and John and Arlie. So did, when Kenny came out to Sarah, was that the end of her game?
No.
Because then she's like, oh, I can't turn my back on Kenny. I'm the only person he told his secret to.
Yeah, but I don't think she would have turned her back either way. Like, I still don't. I think her and Kenny are so close where it doesn't even matter if he would have revealed that to her.
Okay. Let's go to Rachel Kelvey wants to know, question for Andy. How did you react to so many people being against the way you played Big Brother? Now, I find this always very fascinating that you go in the Big Brother house and then you have no idea how you were being portrayed. You don't know if when you come out, if people love you, people hate you. Whereas on Survivor, it's so much different. Yeah. Where you go play Survivor and then you come home and you watch the show with your friends and family and your loved ones, and you can go on all the internet sites and you are totally witness to how everything played out, and then the season is over. But when you go do Big Brother, of course, obviously, you come out of the house, and now you come out and you find out, wait, hold on, a bunch of people didn't like the way I play my game. Can you talk us through, you know, coming to terms with that?
I mean, I feel like a lot of people who actually like the game and like, you know what I'm saying, can respect strategy, were cool with me. And for that, I was very happy to hear. But I mean, there were also lots of people that weren't. And I mean, I can't be too mad, because for half the summer, I wanted to be seen as nothing. You know, I wanted to be in the shadows. I wanted to be insidious. I wanted to be like in everyone's ear, but never the center of attention. And that doesn't make for good TV, you know? So of course, they gave Helen and Amanda a lot of the credit for things that, like, I was just as instrumental in, you know? Because Helen and Amanda were so aggressive. They went out and did it, you know? And I was the one that just kind of sat back and let them do it. And so, in that regard, I feel like I can't be too mad with the edit that I got. But the thing that I don't understand is, I feel like for people that just watched the show, for example, a lot of people were just like, oh, for half the season you were a floater. Which, I mean, sure, saying like wanting to be in, like, cool with everybody, if you're calling that a floater, sure, I guess that's what I was. But I always knew where my loyalty was. But here's the thing. Like, people said I wasn't doing anything. And so then when I like stepped it up and finally did something and like got rid of Amanda, you know, because everyone called me Amanda's rat, okay? Then I like basically plot against Amanda, I get rid of Amanda, I frame Alyssa for it, and then everyone hates me for being a liar and a backstabber. Like, it didn't make any sense, you know? I feel like no matter what I did, I couldn't win with these fans. And so, I mean, I also think that like talking down about the Brenchel army and things like that while I was in the house did not help me with a lot of live feeders and people on the internet. But I mean, I feel like I did not play, and I knew this while I was playing it, I did not play the most likable game, but at the same time, I played the game that was dealt to me. Like, I didn't have to play a swaggering game like a Dan Giesling, because, like, everyone underestimated me, you know? And I mean, if I could do all of my dirty work and, like, be kind of sly and behind the scenes about it, then why not, you know?
Yeah, I think that's unfair to say that you didn't do anything. I know that Brian Lynch is a witness to how hard you were working running around that house. Did Andy ever stop hustling all season, Brian?
I'm telling you right now, 100%. Like, when people ask me if I deserve to win at the end of the season, I 100% deserve to win. I never stopped working. Like, every week, and I feel like this is almost unprecedented. Every week, I knew exactly what was going on. I knew everything every week. And no one ever thought I was a target. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, that shows how hard I was playing. I mean, in that double, Amanda walked out the door thinking that Alyssa voted her out. Then Alyssa walked out the door thinking that McCray voted Amanda out. I mean, that takes work to get people to trust you that much, you know?
Yeah, I think that might have been your finest hour, that double eviction, because
double eviction took 10 years off my life.
I think if you go back and watch our recap of that night, we were just but why didn't she say, you know, the whole thing was like, it still doesn't even make sense what anybody else was thinking.
Well, there was, like, a lot more in that double eviction than you even saw. I mean, like, basically, just really quickly, I don't need to go into a ton, but, like, I knew that McCray didn't trust me. I knew it. And so I was just like, McCray doesn't know that I'm working with Gina Marie. I was like, Gina Marie, if McCray wins during the double, you have to immediately pull him aside and tell him that Alyssa told you everything about the wedding ring. Because, of course, Alyssa didn't tell her. I told her. But I was like, you have to tell him Alyssa told you, because then he won't trust Alyssa, you know? And so that's exactly what Gina Marie did. You didn't even see that on the show. Like, Gina Marie pulled him aside. She was like, Alyssa told me about the wedding ring. She's working with me. She's not working with you. She lied to you. She voted Amanda out. And then, like, Alyssa heard Gina Marie say this. And that's when Alyssa, like, shut down. You know, she was like, Gina Marie, why are you saying this? And Gina Marie was like, because you did it. Like, you're a liar, Alyssa. And I mean, like, all of us came together to do it. And I feel like it was so complex that you didn't even see everything on the show, you know?
Did it help you that there was such explosive personalities in the house?
Yes, 100%. I mean, like, I feel like, if I could hide behind these personalities and make them my shields and they would, like, get them to do what I wanted to do, like, it was perfect, you know? I mean, that's why so many people, like, so many fans were really mad at me for not making a big move during my HOH when I put up Jesse and Spencer. But, like, why would I have put up Helen and Alyssa, and why would I have put up Amanda and McCray when both of those sides thought I was just as, like, tight with them, you know? They all thought I was working with them.
Yeah. Cindy Wigglesworth in the chat says, if Andy wasn't on the feed you were watching, you didn't need to switch feeds. He would just come walking in.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's the thing. Like, whatever room I was in, I was just like, uh-oh, like, where are Howard and Spencer? I need to go find them. And then I would be with Howard and Spencer, and I'd be like, where's Caitlin? And then I would go find her. You know, I knew where everyone was. I always knew where everyone was at all times.
Brian, can you verify all this? Is Andy telling the truth?
Yeah, even like they had glitches on the quad cam every once in a while, and then Andy would be on all four at once in different rooms, and it was fun.
Okay, let's keep going. More questions. Big Brother Updates wants to know, how would you feel if someone peed in the hot tub in your Big Brother house? Sorry, just had to ask. Hold on, Brian, did somebody pee in the hot tub in Big Brother Canada?
Yeah, Rochelle was peeing in the hot tub today.
Why?
I don't know.
On purpose, I mean, maybe, or it was like she couldn't control herself?
Oh, on purpose. I think, of course, she's mad. She's on slop. And then Netta got up in the middle of the night and dumped all their condiments and syrup and stuff they use, you know, to help out with slop. So she's not having a good day today.
So let me
just like out of protest, she peed in the hot tub.
I don't really know why she did it. She was sitting in the hot tub with Sabrina. And Sabrina said, oh, that's yellow. Did you just pee in the hot tub? And I guess she said, yeah. So they got up and left. And then Adele come out and hung out in the hot tub and soaked for a while.
In Rochelle's pee?
Yes.
Okay.
So just so I get this straight. So in the Big Brother house, if you're a have not and you eat a fuzzy peach, that's the HOH, the whole house becomes a have-not and 48 hours of cold water. If you pee in the hot tub, what happens?
Well, I don't know, because the fuzzy navel thing, it took like a day or so for them to get around to the punishment, and then the peeing thing happened a couple hours ago, so we don't really know. We're still in that window of possible punishments for peeing in the hot tub, I guess.
That's pretty bad. I feel like that's almost like to purposely... I feel like that's almost grounds for an instant eviction.
Someone asked if I would be mad if someone did that on my season. I wouldn't have gotten mad. I just wouldn't have gotten mad to, you know, like,
but you didn't
whatever.
Know, but you wouldn't have known. That's the thing. And like Adele didn't know that Rochelle peed in the hot tub. I'm sure he's going to be pissed. Literally, he's going to be really pissed, I guess. So
I think he was being told right when we went on.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it just depends on who gets in the hot tub. Like, yet again, this is gonna make me sound gross, but like, sure, I would be grossed out, but I wouldn't have screamed at anyone. I would have just been like, why would you do that? Like, that was pretty crappy to do. But I mean, if like, I don't know, if like Alyssa had gotten in the hot tub and found out someone peed in it, I think she would have freaked out. Like, you know what I'm saying? She would have been so pissed off.
Pissed on.
Yeah.
So would it have mattered to you if you got in the hot tub about whose pee it was? Would that make any difference? If it was somebody in your alliance, would you have been cooler with that than somebody who was on the other side of the house?
I mean, I think if it was someone on the other side of the house, I would have actually been like more cool with it, because I wouldn't have wanted to like cause any more trouble. So I'd have just been like, well, that was shitty to do, but whatever. If it was someone like, if it was like one of my closest allies, like if I found out Spencer had peed in the hot tub and I sat down, I would have pulled him aside and been like, you're an asshole. Like, why would you do that? You know, but
was Sabrina, I'm trying not to use the word pissed. Was Sabrina upset to find out that when she was actually in the hot tub that Rochelle peed in it?
You know, going back and forth between things, but from what I saw, she just kept getting up and back down in it. That's why I was wondering if they were actually just joking about it, you know? I mean, because I can't stick my face down there and verify that there's actually urine in the hot tub, can I?
Brian, that's what we have you on the job for, Brian. We need a urine reading at all times on the hot tub.
Yeah. I'll get right on that urinalysis, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, Shambo Dreams wants to know, for Andy, what is your opinion on Allison's gameplay? I feel like she promised great things to viewers in the war room, and then we got nothing. Did Allison overhype herself?
I still have very high hopes for Allison. Like I said, I think if Allison can survive a little bit longer, I think that she can maybe do some damage. So we will see, but I have not ruled Allison out yet.
Okay. Brian, what did you think of Allison's cat shirt from the eviction night?
I think that's Netta's shirt. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was okay, I guess.
I thought it was kind of creepy.
Okay.
Creepy out a little bit. Okay. So this is from Michelle, NYItalian27. Do you think Adele will use his power if one of the sloppy seconds win HOH to make sure Kenny doesn't play Vito? Okay, what do you... Now, Brian, does the power expire at any point?
No, it's supposed to be a game-long thing that he can use once, but he has vowed to use it if... if the sloppy seconds, I just call them the nettas, if they win.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Keith Dix wants to know, Andy, is anybody the rat floater this season? Now, is that an offensive term to you, rat floater?
Nope. I mean, that's basically what I did. And I made $500,000 richer as a result of it. So no.
I think you got to embrace that. I feel like that you need that we can turn, like, here at Rob has a PR firm. I feel like we're all about turning a negative into a positive. And I feel like you should embrace that. And
I mean, in the history of Big Brother, there has only been one rat floater, and that one rat floater has won the game. So it is that strategy has a 100% success rate. So.
Yeah. I think you need to, that's me. I did it. I won. It's a great strategy. And you know, you could be a rat floater too.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait to see this next generation of rat floaters for sure. I have some high hopes.
Yeah. So who is there a rat floater in Big Brother Canada?
I don't really see a rat floater yet. I mean, we never know. It's still a little bit early, but I have not noticed any big time rat floaters.
Now, where did the term rat floater come from? Did it get coined inside the house or on the internet?
I honestly think that Dan Giesling might have coined it. Dan Giesling called me a rat and a floater all season. And so, I mean, whatever. Like, Dan Giesling knows what he's talking about. And so, sure, like, I was a rat and, like, I floated to whoever was in power to make sure that I was safe. But that was a good strategy because, as a result, I was always safe. So,
I'd be careful with giving the credit to Dan because then he's going to start charging you royalties on that.
Yeah, right.
He's going to say he trademarked it and you're going to end up owing Dan money.
No, I agree with his observations. I mean, I didn't agree when he said that, I think it might have been even with you guys. He said that he thought my win was, or this, that someone would call me a great winner is laughable, which I think is outrageous. But I do think that he is right in calling me a rat and a floater at various points throughout the season.
Yeah, him and I had a lengthy debate. It was probably like the Monday or Tuesday before the finale about.
Yeah. Well, I think it was just very obvious that he didn't watch the feeds. You know, I don't really think he knew like what was really up. So,
okay, let's go to Hera S. wants to know: was Netta throwing away the condiments a good move on her part? All right, let's talk about this, Brian. Any backstory besides Netta threw away the condiments?
Other than I just wake up this morning and I have pictures in my inbox of Netta doing whatever in the middle of the night. And and now Rochelle's getting all mad because there's no syrup or whatever to throw into her slop whatevers that they're making. And no one really knows who did what with it, whatever it was. So I think she's got away with it.
All right.
Yeah, if she gets away with it, I'm fine. I think it's good. But if she doesn't, then that could be a problem.
But why is it good?
Because it's causing other people to implode, and it's always good for other people to implode, and if it's not you, you know?
Do you get the sense that this is like Russell Hance burning people's socks to create chaos, or is it that I have a personal vendetta?
I think it's more strategic than that. I think that she wants these people to kind of, like I said, implode, and I think that she knows that, like, a Rochelle is probably not going to take it all that well, you know?
Yeah, she's going to go pee in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Plus, they feel like Rochelle did that thing with eating the fuzzy peaches on purpose because she was already a have-not just to get them made have-nots. And so there is a part of it that is about revenge, I do believe.
Okay. All right. If Brian says so, then I buy it. Now, Real BG Lowe says, what did Andy think of the players already eliminated, like Paul, Ika, or Andrew? You want to just give us a quick one line or two on those three people?
Okay. Paul, Ika, and Andrew. I mean, Paul I thought was fun to watch. I think Paul played a terrible – I think Paul seems like a great guy. I think Paul played a terrible game. But I just think that, like, trying to be, like, the villain and things like that right at the beginning, kind of ostracizing yourself is never the right way to go. Andrew got too cocky, but Andrew also got screwed over by Canada. You know, I think that if Canada hadn't been HOH, I think that Andrew would still be in a pretty good position. And I just loved Ika. I thought Ika made for wonderful television. I mean, I don't know if it was the best move getting Paul out during her HOH. Or I guess, like, she didn't really know what was happening. But the fact that, like, she got screwed over during her HOH, I think, like, it was just kind of a downhill spiral for her after that. But I actually really, really liked Aika a lot. I wanted her to go further.
And if you didn't see it on Friday, Brian and I talked to Aika. I thought we had a really fun conversation. Wasn't Aika great, Brian?
She's amazing.
Yeah, yes. I really, really like Aika. Was one of my faves for sure.
We all season long, I said that I like Aika. Now I think I love Aika.
Yep, me too. I've always loved Aika.
She's great. David Survivor / Gaming Channel wants to know, Andy, did you expect to win, and is Slop as bad as it seems?
Okay, Slop is actually, because since you can have condiments and things with Slop, Slop is not as terrible as it seems. Like, Helen would make these little, like, fried Slop balls that were pretty good. So I didn't think, like, Slop was not the worst part about being a have-not, I thought. And then did I expect to win? I feel like, I mean, I've said this before, for the first half of the game, my mindset was always, what can you do to make sure that you are not a target next week? No matter who wins HOH, they're not going to put you up. You know, that was always my mindset. And then about halfway through the game, when I was like, I am playing everybody. Like, everyone is telling me everything and no one is on to me. That's when, like, I had, like, an epiphany one day and I was like, I think I can win.
And especially when you were sitting next to Gina Marie, you had to be feeling pretty good.
Yes. When Gina Marie started answering jury questions, bless her heart, I love her so much. In that moment, I knew that I had won.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Like, if I wouldn't have won, I think my head would have exploded on national TV. Like, if I had lost after that.
Yeah. If somebody, like, did, like, a topaz. Did Gina Marie get any votes? Was it close?
It was 7-2, but Judd and Aaron both admitted that, like, they were basically sympathy votes. They were both like, we knew you were going to win, so.
Okay. All right. This is from the great Richard Shores wants to know, is it better for Allison to go with the Kenny, Sabrina, Rochelle, or to go with the others? All right. So Allison's at the bottom of this alliance. What do you think? Is she better off with the sloppy seconds or with the former first five?
I think Allison for right now needs to just go where the majority is. And then I think if she can ride it out a little bit longer, then I think she can finally make some moves. I mean, I've said this a bunch of times tonight. I think that she just needs to keep remaining, like, at the bottom for the next couple of weeks, but not the bottom. And then once she gets past that, she'll be more useful to people later on.
Yeah. She's just got to go and hide and, you know, go to sleep for 30 days and then, you know, wake up, and then it'll be like the first week in May and then she'll be fine.
Yeah. Like, as long as Allison, I mean, I feel like I would kind of liken her to, like, Jesse. Okay, so Jesse, my season right now, Jesse was in a position where she could have just ridden it out. You know, she was on the bottom of, like, she was never really in an alliance. She was always kind of on the bottom, but no one really was gunning for her until Jesse started to try to make these big power moves, and then people were like, okay, Jesse has to go. And so as long as Allison can be okay with being on the bottom, I think Allison actually is going to be in an okay spot for a little bit.
Okay, we'll see. All right, Mike Bloom wants to know, Andy, if you had to give up one piece of clothing like the house guests did, would you want to keep your cat top or your skeleton shirt? What do you think?
I would have gotten rid of the cat shirt. I like the skeleton shirt more, for sure. Although I need to verify, like, I feel like I got so much criticism for my wardrobe on the show. I had, like, 70% of my clothing taken away from me before I went into the house, and so I think they left me with clothes that made me look like a six-year-old. So,
why? What kind of stuff did you have that they took away?
I mean, I don't know. I had, like, basically we were told that we couldn't have any black, so I had, like, black button-ups, like, black t-shirts. Those were taken away, which I was like, that's ridiculous, because, like, other people have black stuff. I don't know. I feel like I had some more, like, sophisticated, like, graphic t-shirts and things like that were taken away. But a lot of the stuff, a lot of the stuff that I was allowed to keep in the house was not my favorite stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, it was memorable.
Oh, yeah.
South Newton 1, do you feel that Heather has been underestimated as a player this season? It certainly seemed that way early on. Andy, talk about Heather being underestimated.
I do. I think Heather's actually in a pretty good position right now. I think Heather is a little bit more logical and thoughtful than people are giving her credit for. And so I think Heather is okay. I think Heather's going to be around for a little bit.
I'll tell you one guy who never underestimated Heather. That's Brian Lynch, right?
Well, I think I did underestimate her. I said that she had poor game, like, the entire time. I just didn't like how she was being treated at the beginning of the game. At this point, these aren't her nominations. She's doing what her alliance says. However, that could turn out to be best for her. I don't think she's at the top of the Gremlins target list anyway.
Yeah.
Could Heather pull a Jordan and win this game?
Sure. I don't know. I still feel like it's too early. I'm not sure.
Brian, what do you think? Is it possible Heather wins Big Brother Canada too?
I mean, if pulling a Jordan is winning the game while being sweet, Heather can do that. Okay. But she's had her moments of throwing down with people too. Yeah. So she's shown evidence of not being that sweet, innocent girl that we thought she was at the beginning, which I even like better. I can like get out from behind to like defending her all the time and just let her play the game, you know?
Does it help Heather or hurt Heather that she doesn't have a Big Jeff to her Jordan?
I think it could help her at this point. I mean, I feel like people kind of are going to see her as alone, you know? They're not going to see her as anyone that they need to break up.
But when they break them up, they always vote out Jeff.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
She's got multiple Final Two deals, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
With the Big Jeff, you can only really have one.
That's fair. Gregory Contreras, Andy, can you explain why it makes sense for Arlie to turn on his original alliance that trusted him for an alliance that has too many unknown variables? This is a very good question.
I don't actually feel like it makes that much sense. I mean, this week, Arlie just sensed a shift in power and maybe acted a little bit too prematurely, but I still think it's putting Arlie in a position where I don't think he's going to win, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Arlie just wants so badly to show us that he's such a good player. I feel like he cares so much about what we think at home that I feel like it's ultimately going to cost him his game.
But it's like the people like that, they're not going to win. You know, I mean, like I feel like on my season, I knew that America was the MVP and I knew that America kept putting up Amanda. And if I cared what America thought of me, I would have turned against Amanda at that point. But I was like, I need Amanda. I don't get like whatever. I don't care if America doesn't think well of me. Like I'm playing to win, you know?
Do you think the players on Big Brother Canada need to care more about what Canada thinks? Because I think that you have to give Adele credit because that he has really, you know, taken it. He calls himself Canada's hero and Canada's boy. And he really starts to try to play that up. And I think it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's smart because he knows that Canada has a pretty big role in things, you know? I mean, in Big Brother US, the American audience doesn't have as big of a role, so I was always like, I don't care, you know? I mean, like, if I would have cared, like I said, I wouldn't have, like, looked at the camera and said horrible things about the Brunch Alarm because I know that's, like, a big voting base, you know? But, I mean, I didn't think that America had a big pull, and so it didn't really matter to me. But Canada, it seems like, does. And so I think it's smart that Adele is doing that, for sure, and it's working.
Brian, what's your take on that?
Oh, yeah, definitely it works. I mean, he got the vote when he needed it.
Yeah, and now he's in a great position. I feel like he's not going to go anywhere for a while.
Okay, let's go to Mackenzie Scott, who wants to know, what do you think it's going to be like for everyone whose enemy lives in the same city when they return home? For example, John and Kenny, Rochelle and Heather. Is this going to be a big deal after Big Brother Canada ends?
I think that for the most part, as long as you're not like a complete horrible jerk, like you can put things aside and like get along with most people. I mean, sure, there are some relationships that like will never be mended, but I think for the most part, like at least my idea is like we all shared a really neat experience together and like why can't we get along, you know? I mean, like I backstabbed Helen like crazy on Big Brother. She'll even say that trusting me was her downfall, but we live in the same city. I see her all the time, you know? Like I think that people should be able to put game aside and like,
can we play the clip of when Alyssa is calling Amanda on the phone and talking about what car they're going to buy for like 5 minutes? Like,
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. Who would have thought those two would ever talk again?
Yeah. If Amanda and Alyssa can have conversations recorded on Google Hangouts that neither one of them knows are even being recorded, then there is hope for anybody. Right, Brian?
That's right. And like even after some of these arguments, you can catch them if you'll watch long enough talking and then making up. John and Kenny was talking today about how they're going to have beers and stuff when they get out of the house. So they know it's just a game.
It's just a
Most
game.
Most of the time.
Everybody's going to get over
Not
it.
Really. It's more than just a game, but we can
Although,
play it like adults.
I'm coming from kind of a skewed perspective because I never, like, no one ever screwed me over. I was never really mad at anybody. And so like, I came out of this kind of scot-free. And so, of course, I'm like, why can't we all get along? You know, you all gave me $500,000. I'm cool with you all. So. Yeah.
Okay. So Michael Z wants to know, Arlie and Allison both seem to realize they're at the bottom of their new alliance. In a few weeks, could they pick up two more people and create Exterminators 2.0 and run the game to the end?
Yes.
Yes.
I really think they can, yes.
They could, but they won't. I don't think that she really trusts Arlie. I mean, they had a conversation today.
I actually think that, like, the two of them will want to take each other out. Like, I think that, like, Allison doesn't trust Arlie, and I think Arlie's going to catch on to that. But I think whichever one of them emerges victorious is going to do well.
Okay.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, they're kind of occupying the same position. Like, Arlie was right in the middle and could go either way, but now he's exposed himself, and now Allison's kind of in that spot where she could go either way.
Yeah.
All right, the Yellow Dello says, what is Andy's opinion on media outlets saying Kenny is a bad example for LGBT youth by playing straight? Is it just a game move, or does he have a responsibility to be a role model?
I might have a kind of controversial opinion on this, but we are playing a game, okay? Like, this is not, if this was real life and Kenny was hiding it, sure, like, yes, like, I would want him to, like, be more open with it, but he's playing a game. And he is doing what he thinks is best for his game. Like, I mean, I got a ton of crap during my season for not speaking up against, like, homophobic comments that were made, you know? Well, like, I was playing a game. If it was real life, of course I would have said something, but it was a game. I did not want to speak up. I did not want to cause trouble. And so for anyone to claim that actions in the Big Brother house mirror ways that we should act in real life is outrageous. Like, no, I do not think Kenny should be looked down upon for the way that he's acting or what he's doing.
Yeah, I feel like that seems like a stretch that, you know, Kenny needs to make a stand here. I mean, Kenny is not like saying, I need to hide my sexuality because I'm ashamed. He's basically saying, I think I can advance my game by flirting with the women and pretending to be something different. So,
yeah. And the show isn't called like Canada's Next Activist. It's called Big Brother Canada. Like, you're not out there to be an activist. You're out there to win Big Brother, you know?
That's right. Like, okay, let's go to Barry Okanoba wants to know, Andy, who is the better player, Dan or Will, and why? Okay, now the shoe's on the other foot.
Yeah, I feel like I can't really answer this question because I've actually never seen Big Brother 1 or 2, and so I never saw Will play his original season. I've only seen clips and like little bits and pieces here and there. I mean, I've read a lot about it, but I still feel like I'm not as well-versed in it as I should be. But I feel like just from what I have heard...
Oh, wait, hold on. This just in. Peter Brown and Alec Beal have just unfollowed Andy on Twitter.
What? Why?
You didn't watch Big Brother 2. You've sacrilege. All right, go ahead. Sorry to drop.
Don't get me wrong. I've probably seen half of Big Brother 2. But I feel like just from what I have seen, like... Dan's jury management was so horrible in season 14 that I would almost give the edge to Will. I think it's really impressive that Dan made it to, that Dan won his first season and then got second place the second season. But if Dr. Will, like, the way that he was able to manipulate people is just insane to me. Like, I can't believe it. I mean, he was able to, like, say to their face, like, what he was going to do, and I was plotting against them, and they still trusted him and still got him to where he was. Like, I would give the edge to Will over Dan.
Yeah, that's an interesting wrinkle to this debate that I don't think I've ever heard, that if Will got to the end in Big Brother 7, he definitely would have won. Is that, Brian, is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yes.
But he didn't. And Dan did get to the end in his second season. So that's sort of like Will could have won twice or Will would have won twice, but you know Dan did get to the end twice.
But, I mean, I think that like jury management is such a big part of it, and I mean that was one element that Dan really kind of overlooked, you know, his second time when he was there.
Yeah. There's no right
well,
answer.
He had to, didn't he?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe one day we'll get that season where Dan versus Will. Would you want to see that, Andy?
I would love to see that, of course. Although, hopefully, I would be in there and I would beat both of them. So, duh, come on.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm for sure going to get like 30 death threats for just saying that. But.
Yeah, well, we know that those guys... But the thing is that those guys are going to be very keenly aware of what you're doing, though. It's gonna I've said this all along. I think it's going to be very hard for you on a second time around if you play again. Because I feel like people are going to be keen to what you're doing.
Yeah, I think I would have to play differently for sure.
Yeah, I think that'd be a tough thing. But at the same time, people are like, okay, well, we know what Andy's doing, so you know he's not a threat. He's not winning HOHs, so do we have to worry about him right now? So I kind of feel like if you could just like survive the first, you should come back if they do a coach's twist, and then if you could get like that first 4 weeks, then you'd be good.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do a few more questions. Zachary's our next client. If Arlie is Hayden, Adele is Enzo, and John is Lane, Can you foresee Netna being Britney'd by John? Okay, it's sort of a like an SAT analogy question. So if Arlie is Hayden, Adele is Enzo, and John is Lane, do you think that Netta will be Britney'd?
I don't know, because John does have that final three with them, but John and Netta are so personally close. I mean, I don't know. Brian can probably speak better than I can.
Well, of course, he says that they've got that final two, and of, I mean, I've been reporting it the whole time that that is the unbreakable bond, John and Netta.
Yeah.
So even though he has that final three with the other side, but I don't really know that he's necessarily come clean to her about that, so that always causes you to wonder, right?
I don't know. Nina Nims, hey, Rob and Andy, who do you think is actually in the best position right now?
It's tough. I mean, because the dynamics shift so quickly. But right now, I feel like Heather and... No, you know what? Maybe Adele. I think Adele is in a very good position right now.
Adele? Brian, what do you think?
I would say Adele or Allison. Allison purely because she's got the power.
Is it crazy to say Heather? Is that crazy?
No, it's
no. No.
Who's coming for... I just go back down to... That I feel like the name of the game on Big Brother is stay out of the crossfire. If you never get nominated, you get to the end. And who's coming after Heather at this point? Is Rochelle going to win HOH next week and put Heather on the block?
No.
She might want to, but Sabrina would tell her to do something else.
Say, don't worry about Heather. She's not going to get to the end.
Yeah.
And just like Jordan, where she's like so not a threat that she should be a threat. She's like in the Sandra spot right now, that nobody is coming after Heather this whole game.
Yeah.
I think she's in a good spot, and I feel like people are going to are worried about Arlie and John and Sabrina, and there's like this is like where the firefight is going to start, where people take out something from your side, take out something from your side. I actually do think Allison's in a decent spot too.
Yeah, I agree with all this. Yeah.
The blondes are in a good spot right now, I think.
Allison's the one that can play without fear, though, because I think we really don't know what her power is, but we're assuming that she could take herself off the block at the last second, right?
Oh, talk about, I don't even think we got to this. So talk about what did she find in the house and how did she find that?
They put some pucks in the pool at one point, and then they come back and put some flowers inside the house, and she was the one that found a note in one of the set of three daisies pots. And she took that to the bathroom, read it, led her to the pool where she sat, found another clue on a puck that was in the pool. She had to get into the pool to find, you know, while everybody was running around. And then she had to go to the hot tub to read something in the two-way mirror. And that gave her the instructions on how to open the secret door, which led to the war room and whatever she got out of the war room.
Boy, this was like an episode of Whodunit. Then she's like, she got the clue to be able to solve the murder.
Yeah, she had to do all of this running around under everyone's noses, and it was really crazy because they kept, like, busting her, saying she was acting weird and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, my God. That's intense. So she has a special power, and you got to think it will help her here as we start to get into the second half. Brian, I saw people on Twitter saying that they felt like it was set up for Allison to win. Did you feel that?
Well, I saw people saying that as well. I mean, they were on a lockdown, and then when they came in, there were flowers inside the house. I mean, I'm sorry if you can't visualize Allison being the first one actually going to the flowers and finding the clue, but that's what happened.
Okay. All right. Let's do one last question, and then we'll wrap this up. This is from Real BG Low. If the remaining first five members get power in the double eviction, who will they target from the outsiders?
John.
Yes.
That's it? That's such a fast answer. All right. Well,
Sabrina might want Netta to go because Netta has ripped her a new one like several times in the last couple of days. But when she talks to Kenny about it, Kenny sways it back to John with either Adele and Arlie being the other nomination.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do one last question. You guys answer so fast. Zachary's our next client. In general, is it smarter to make an alliance soon after you enter the house or to wait a few weeks to make a solid alliance as the sloppy seconds alliance has done? What do you think?
It really always just depends on who you are in that house with. You know, I mean, I feel like My goal going into the show was to wait like a week and really to deduce who I trusted and who I liked. I mean, that's what I did, and it worked. You know, like me, Amanda, Judd, and McCray. I didn't even really make the show, but the four of us were an alliance, and basically until Judd was evicted. And like the four of us were like the last four people nominated for eviction. We were always under the radar. You know what I mean? And I feel like those were people that I trusted. You know, and so I think that if you can really figure out who you gel the best with, and get together with those people, and do it in a way that other people don't expect, it's very beneficial to you.
There's only been one time where the people make an alliance on the first day or the first 2 days and it ends up working. Am I wrong about this? That other than the Brigade, hasn't every other first 48 hours alliance been a colossal failure?
Yeah, I think so.
Am I missing anything, Brian?
Well, I mean, like people like Danielle and Reyes and Jason, they had something that went to the end, but they didn't win the final HOH. So.
I don't really count two
people. Like Dick and Danielle. Yeah. You know,
I guess so, but I'm talking about like a big group of like, hey, oh, we're the people inside the house, like F them, the six of us who are in the hot tub here tonight, for we're the final six. Like, I feel like it always comes apart, like whether it's the Four Horsemen or the Moving Company or Quattro or the first five, whatever these dopey alliances that they come up with, the first like five or six people, it never works out. It's not,
No. You
know, the Brigade is the exception to the rule, not the rule.
I can't remember when the friendship formed though.
Yeah. I don't think it was the first night though.
Well, and I almost feel like the producers, production doesn't want that to work, because I feel like the season of The Brigade was kind of boring, you know, because everyone just knew what was going to happen every week, you know?
Well, and, you know, and that's the anomaly, The Brigade, and The Brigade really got, like, their smokescreen was Brenchel. If it wasn't for everybody being so distracted with Brendan and Rachel that whole summer, then The Brigade would have never worked. People would have found out about it, but it was like the whole house versus Brenchel for so long that nobody cared about what The Brigade was doing.
Yeah.
All right. And one last question from Mike Harlow, who wants to know, Andy, will you marry me? It's totally legal here. And then there's a wink. So I'm not sure if that's a fake marriage proposal or if it's not really legal here.
Well, what I will say back to that is, you know, I'm going to give that a yes. So I'll say yes.
Oh.
I'm also going to throw in a wink at the end. So that leaves it a little bit up in the air, I think.
A little bit up in the air. The dating has been good post Big Brother.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's been fine. I feel like I went a little nuts when I first got back. I've been cooling it a little bit lately. But yeah, no, things are good.
So do you get like a big bump off of the Big Brother appearance in the dating?
See, the thing is, like, I much prefer people that don't know I was on Big Brother, because, like, I would much prefer you to be interested in me just because of, like, you liking me as a person, as opposed to, like, you knowing my presence from TV. And so, I mean, it's been, like, fun to be out and have like people recognize me, but for the most part, like when I go on dates with guys, it's usually like guys that I know do not know that much about Big Brother.
And what are you looking for? Are you looking to settle down, or are you playing the field?
Yeah, if I met the right person, I would be ready, but I'm also just like, I feel like I'm quite picky. Like it's gonna take a lot to be Mr. Right for me. And
you're
You're
floating through the dating scene. You don't want to find a final two with anybody?
I'm finding my way through the dating scene, and it feels great. Yeah.
Okay. Would you ever date another reality person?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would be interesting because we've gone through such a, I mean, it's such like a neat experience that not that many people share, you know? I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I feel like we're missing a good gay reality TV power couple. And I'm not talking about like the team that did the Amazing Race together.
Yeah.
I feel like we're ready for that. And I'm trying to think, Brian, is there anybody that I should be thinking of here?
Gay power couples?
No, I want like, who's a good reality star that we could set up with Andy?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean,
what kind of guys would like Andy?
I'm the first person in line at the Big Brother Canada finale to talk to Kenny. So we'll see what happens with that. But
all right. I'm trying to think. All right. Let me know in the comments. I think I feel like that this would be good for you, Andy. I feel like, again, Rob has a PR firm. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to, one, we're going to embrace the rat floater. And two, I think we need like a showmance here. And I feel
I'm all for this.
Okay. So, all right. So we'll think about this. Let me know in the comments if you have anybody for Andy. I think this will be a good, this will be a really good, because especially in the absence of Amanda and McCray, I feel like there's an absence now for a power couple.
I know. I hear you.
I think so. All right. Fantastic. Andy, great job. Follow Andy on Twitter at Andy Herron. He's tweeting always good things about reality TV and also trolling the haters.
I mean, it's what I gotta do.
Yeah. I have to say, I didn't like it when you told people that you were, what'd you say you were doing with $100 bills after the season was over?
That was actually not okay. So when the season got over, I would give my friends my cell phone and I would be like, literally, you can tweet whatever you want just to like enrage people. And so one of my friends wrote as me wiping my ass with $100 bills. And I was like, you know what? That's going to make people mad.
Yeah, that was bad. We did not agree with that at Rob Has a PR.
I didn't even write it.
Yeah. Oh, what about Todd Herzog? This could be good. Todd Herzog, he just got...
I am the biggest Todd Herzog fan. I think he is such an underrated Survivor winner. Like,
yeah, this could be... You guys are both winners. Todd, yeah. He just got... now, again, you got to be sensitive about the drinking here with Todd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That'd be, dry. It got to be probably dry for Todd.
I can do that.
Okay. What do you think? Andy and Todd? I don't know if he watched The Big Brother this summer, though.
Yeah.
All right. But I think we're on the right track. Very good. All right. Brian and I will be back on Friday to talk about the latest eviction on Big Brother Canada. So that's going to be very exciting. And we will be back then again next Tuesday and try to have another great Big Brother guest. So it's going to be hard to top this. I thought you did a very good job here, Andy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I would love to, like, have me back sometime. I would love to.
All right. And then we got the Big Brother US coming up in the summer. So, of course, we're going to talk to you again there. So,
great. Well, I'm not going to be watching that. The Big Brother 15 cast was so vile and racist that I'm never watching again.
Here's what I'm worried about here. I'm worried that now the pendulum, they're going to have to swing it back so far. And I think that Big Brother 16, I'm worried, could be the most boring season ever.
Really?
Because I'm worried that we're going to say, oh, we got to be careful here. CBS might say, all right, well, we don't want anybody too controversial this summer. We got a lot of phone calls. So then it's just going to be the most like milquetoast season potentially for Big Brother 16.
I hope not. I'm hoping for lots of drama and trouble again. I mean, maybe not racist drama and trouble, but I still like, hopefully it's not boring because I'm really looking forward to now watching it after playing it.
How are they going to screen for people who are racist? Do you think that they're going to, do they have a test for this?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, we had to undergo a lot of different stuff, but I mean, I guess we didn't take like an "Are you racist?" test. Yeah. But
because people are going to be looking for it, that one comment, I think, then that's going to be all over YouTube.
Well, even our season, that's how it was. Like people were calling me racist, and I was like, "What? Like, can you show me how I was racist?" And people were like, "Well, you were in the room when people said racist things," and I'm like, "That doesn't make me a racist," you know, like.
Yeah,
but
it's gonna be tough. I think that I'm afraid that they're gonna shy away from anybody with an edge to them, and I feel like it could potentially be a boring season.
Yeah, I'm hoping not, but I can see that logic. It makes sense.
Yeah. What about Bryce from Survivor this season?
He was interesting. I liked him. I thought he seemed like a fun, nice guy.
But you wouldn't date him.
I don't know. He's not really my type. Like, nothing against him. But he seems like, more BFF potential than, like, dating potential.
All right. Because I feel like then you could really put any sort of Andy is racist rumors to bed right there.
Yeah. I mean, believe me, I have dated all across the ethnic spectrum. So believe me, Bryce's personality, I should say, is just not maybe Mike. Like, I feel like we would gel better as friends than as dates.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep working on it. Maybe we'll work on that Todd Herzog.
Yeah, please do, Rob. Put your feelers out there.
I am in communication with Todd. I will let him know. All right.
All right.
Andy, thank you so much. Make sure you don't miss any of our podcasts. Subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for our main feed, or for Just Big Brother on iTunes, go to robhasawebsite.com/BB podcast. And on YouTube, don't miss an episode of any of our live shows. Go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.